Yeah, I mean they've been around for quite a while. All right, so that's great. So what about if we got an existing sales team already? Do you go out and should we assess each of our sales reps already and see where they fall and in what would be an ideal candidate, or would you, you know, start creating new measurements for them that would be slowly getting rid of the bottom 20%? What's your thoughts on that?
Andy, you want to take that?
Yeah, I'll take that. So, you know, should you assess? I'm going to say yes. I'm a strong believer in it. The question becomes, you know, it's really going through the same exercise Tom just talked about. Who's your market? Who are you going after? What does the position require? What does that person need to look like? And it's quite possible that things have morphed. I'll give you an example. We work with Intuit. I mentioned them earlier, the makers of QuickBooks. They had a sales organization, and what they hired for years ago was really a customer service rep. And the guys were doing great, but they're going, you know what, we want to change our business. We're going a little different direction. When we sat down and looked at what the position was, what the requirements were, we're going, you know what, the kind of person you need for that new position is not something that you have already employed. You've got to go out and find brand new people. So it's quite possible that the people you have today are not the ones necessarily who are going to be the ones for your tomorrow, or the people that you hired for 2 or 3 years ago are not the ones who are going to be performing at maximum performance today, because guess what? Your market has morphed. It's changed. It's evolved. Some of your people have changed with it. Some of your people have not. So it really comes down to, you know, it's time to stop, reassess, where are we at, where do we want to be, what does that require, and here's what happens out of that. Some people can morph and evolve and go with that. Some people probably are not in the right position, and they could be repositioned for something else within the company, and others probably aren't going to make it, but you know what, you probably already know who that is already. You just need an excuse to let them go.
That's awesome. That's a good succinct, just here's what you need to do with your existing sales team. That's perfect. I have a question, and then maybe we'll jump into a couple of other quick topics. We're running low on time. What are, in your mind, you guys have worked with thousands and thousands of salespeople, top-performing ones. Is money the biggest motivator?
Salespeople are successful ones.
Successful ones.
You know, we Andy, can I take that because I have the data?
Yeah, Tom, go ahead, and then I'll add my piece at the end.
In 17 years, I've interviewed 28,000 salespeople, so I've kind of seen some theme. If somebody doesn't have a drive to make money, you usually rarely see them make it. Now, it's not the only thing, and it depends on what you're selling. But there needs to be some of it. We actually broaden that out, Yannick, and we call it economic. And it really is, it measures the desire to understand. There are some people that say, what needs to happen, and then what are my resources, and how can I get the most out of my resources, and then if I do that, it would only be fair to get paid, so there's some economic justice. So I'll give you an example. The person that you're looking for says, what's the game? And it's called selling somebody. And then they say, well, if I sell the wrong person, that's actually going to take a lot of time, so that's bad. So they get a lot more ethical when they realize that selling things wrong, selling people that are dissatisfied are going to hurt us. So we have this kind of a let's take a look at their ethics, and let's take a look at their drive for results and put them together so you get a balance. There are people that are sharks, there are people that are retrievers, and there are people that are lions. Retrievers want to make friends. They just don't want to, like, ask you to buy. Sharks want to ask you to buy. They don't care about you. Lions are both. They like you, and they want you to buy, and they spend their time with people that have the greatest propensity to serve. We use the assessments to find those people, and what we found over the years is the greatest people have the balance of relationship and the desire for results or money. People that only like the relationship and they don't have the drive, they rarely make it. There are exceptions. They rarely make it. Sharks people that are only interested in the money and not relationship, they usually become reform sharks when they see that it actually pays better. So I would rather have a person that only is interested in money than somebody that isn't, but it's suboptimal. We need to then show the value of morphing into the kind of person that's a maverick person. That's a, you know, what I love about mavericks is we're going to make an impact, we're going to make money. What I love about mavericks is we're going to have a whole lot of fun on the way. And then what I love is we're going to give back and we're going to make a difference. Well, that's really the format for a sales guy, too. They don't always have to start with all those pieces in place.
Yeah, and let me add two quick little pieces to that. You get a shark, and they don't pay attention to what's going on, they will destroy your customer base. They will build a bad reputation for you, and you have seen different statistics, but the one that seems to be common is you do damage to one person, and they will tell seven people, and your bad reputation gets built, and it's awfully hard to undo a bad reputation. So that's one thing. Second thing is money by itself, again, from my CEO club, looking at people who were making money and selling well, I had one client who was a DuPont trust fund baby. Yep, made millions. Was also the top salesperson year after year after year. And the reason was he had money, so money wasn't a motivator to him. What was the motivator was everybody said ever since you were born, you were handed everything on a silver platter, and it ticked him off. He was out to prove that he had a brain, that he had his own skills and capabilities, that he could make his own darn money. So he was out to prove something, and year after year after year, he was the number one rep. So you don't think that money is necessarily the thing. As Tom said, it is the balance. But our job as business owners is to identify what those hot buttons are so we know how to motivate them and keep them motivated.
So you know, again, underneath that, we have had people in the past where somebody that has money is their only drive, and they have nothing next to it. They usually make some, but they usually switch jobs a lot because they're always looking for the better offer. They're mercenaries. So we have a caution just on that. But when it's a high, we always look, in my world, if you don't have it, I'm not looking at it. And if you do have the presence for money, then I say, in the service of what? And so if I get a person that has money and service, then they're usually like, I want to make a lot of money so that I can help a family member, so I can help my kids, so I can help them get to a college. There's a lot more depth to that. There's some people that say, I want to make money because I'm really an artist, and I would like the freedom to be able to create and not worry about, like, I don't want to do art that sells. I want to make money so I can do things that give me joy. It's that secondary motivation that makes the money so much more compelling. But if it's not there, man, you're trying to, you're trying to create something that isn't there.
Yeah, it's how that makes your bucket list come true.
Well, I think that's a good segue to, that's one thing that we always talk a lot about on the Maverick Business stuff is the lifestyle, the have more fun, the experiential, and then of course impact. But so the bucket list thing, that's also interesting. Is maybe we can turn it around a little bit. So I normally ask our experts about their own lifestyle and bucket list and things that they're doing that enjoy and have fun. But what about for your sales team? Does that make it more powerful for them if you are providing incentives where it's beyond just the money and giving them experiences or giving them a better lifestyle that they can tap into?
Tom, let me take this one, okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So, absolutely, that's a mistake that I think a lot of sales organizations make, is they'll sit down and let's do a little goal setting. Well, the goal setting is usually, here's your plan and here's the quota that you need to hit. Not real inspiring. Or if they take it to the next level, they go out and buy somebody's goal setting program, and the goal setting says, you need to have goals in these nine areas or seven areas or whatever. Again, not very inspiring. It's the bucket list. It's when you take it to the next level beyond that, which is, how do I make my dreams and fantasies become reality? Whatever that is. Do I build a charity in Haiti? Do I contribute? Do I send all my siblings to college? Do I, or my kids or my nieces or whatever it is? But there's things that we've fantasized about since we were a little kid, dreams that we had, And I was a Boy Scout leader years ago, and they had a phrase that said, "Will the boy of yesterday be proud of the man you are tomorrow?" In other words, will you become your own hero?
Yeah.
And when I look at a bucket list, to me, a bucket list is, here's my list of dreams and fantasies that I want to make them become true. Now, motivation is happening with your sales organization. You take them through that exercise, their motivation's coming from internally, not externally, and it will last a heck of a lot longer because it's theirs. People do things for their reasons, not for yours.
So an application of...
You could have a customized bucket list, kind of make-a-wish dream list that each salesperson has, and then they hit certain goals, and you guys help accomplish them.
I'll give you an example of a guy that worked for me before I joined with Andy. His name was Rick Farrell, and Rick was a great, great sales pro. Really outstanding. Single guy, mid-40s, was making a lot of money. Giving him a conventional incentive plan, it wasn't enough. What he loved to do was travel. And so as part of my onboarding process, I'd say, make a list of 100 dreams. And by the way, at least 100. I noticed that Ted, you know, as soon as he talked, I went onto his website, TED Talks or whatever it was. He had his 101 list, right? Which I laughed and said, we share a lot. I added sports team after reading that, by the way.
There you go.
So I look at his list, and, you know, I have realized that in the past that it has to be 100 because the first 38 that people put down, statistically, I've noticed the first 38 are things they're going to do anyhow. From 38 to about 80 or so, they're things that would be nice to do, but they're not necessarily compelling that you're not driven to. They're just like, that'd be cool. But there's this thing that happens around 80 where people break through and they uncover the primitive things that they forgot were important to them because they took it away from reality. And when they make those lists, they get excited. And that 80 to 100, those are those last two push-ups. Those last two push-ups, that turns the switch on to hyperdrive. So Rick Farrell does this exercise, and he shows me the places that he wants to travel. And the place he really wants to go is India. So I said, this is your number one goal for the year? He said, yep, I want to go to India. And I said, great. So when you hit your number, if you hit this number, I'm going to give you $5,000 for India, but you have to spend all the money. You spend $2,000, that's what the prize worth. I want you to do everything first rate. Well, then I called the consulate, then I called the travel agent, and I bombarded him with his house with everything I could find from India. He got on every India mailing list he could get. Long story short, he made a number. I wrote him that check when he brought his expenses back. And then he said, what am I going for next year? See, that's the impact. That's the magic of these. You couldn't have this experience. And that's, again, what I love about your Mavericks is you give guys experiences you can't buy by yourself.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love the fact that you put him on all these mailing lists and just kept that drip on him, and it was in his forefront of his mind. And you are absolutely right, Tom, about that. You know, those first couple items that you write down. I mean, it really is. It works with anything, really. And I teach people, when we're talking about even copywriting, that the first 15, 20, 25 headlines sort of suck, or they're sort of just normal and pedestrian, but you really start getting to the good stuff and you push yourself beyond that.
Well, here's what the research says, you know, about like the prizes, the trips that you do with your Mavericks. I used to do commercials for McDonald's for about 4 years, and so I made, you know, the stuff you see on TV. And when we were doing games, we found that if you gave $1 million, people said, whatever. But when it was play one-on-one with Larry Bird and Michael Jordan, even if you have the money, you can't buy that. That was more compelling. It was giving someone experience that they could not get access to on their own that was more compelling than the money when it came to prizes. So these life experiences, you know, next week I'm going out to Los Angeles and I'm going to Keith Ferrazzi's house for a party. Well, there's a guy that's been really meaningful to me, and Keith Ferrazzi is his hero. So I said, hey, listen, I want to thank you for all the things you've done for me. Why don't you join me for a party when I'm in L.A.? He said, really? Great. Where are we going? I said, Keith Ferrazzi's. He's like, you're kidding me. It's those, when we can take our relationships, and the people that are listening to this call, your network, they're amazing people that live huge lives. Their access to capital, their access to experience, their access to people, the ability to understand what's on someone's list and then make it happen for them, that's the game changer that buys loyalty, that buys perseverance on the tough days, that buys forgiveness on the days where you push too hard. Those are the mighty things that make good hires work.
That's awesome. That is very cool. All right, we're a little bit over on time. If you guys got two or three more minutes, maybe we can cover just the impact side of things, because that's always a piece of what we try and provide here, either from your personal lives or what you guys think of that or your philosophy there, or maybe how you can incorporate it into your sales mission and with your people. So I'll let you guys pick.
Be more specific, Yannick. You're talking about more fun and giving back?
Give back more or give more, give forward, whatever. Any way that you want to classify it or having an impact, and whether it's, how you want to bake that into the culture for the salespeople or what you guys personally think about it and what you do with it.
I'll take a stab at it. My first business card in this business 17 years ago, I put on my title decision maker, and then people would say decision maker, and they'd chuckle, sales guy who says he's the decision maker. And I'd say, my job is to be a decision maker that meets with decision makers for the purpose of making decisions. And as the years went by, I said, that wasn't enough. And so I changed it to difference maker, and I said, my job is to be a difference maker that meets with difference makers, and the purpose of every call I go is to make a difference. Like, if it's only going to be a transaction, I'm not going anymore. Like, if we're not going to make a difference, life is short. Like, when you can sell anyone you want, you should only sell to people who it's going to help, because you're building something that lasts. And so that's kind of been my mantra. And what I found as I've worked with salespeople over the last 14 years, that commitment to teaching a salesperson, hey, let's make a difference. And as a company, not looking to say, can we get a sell, but what's a sale that will make an extraordinary difference, that we want you to major in the majors, that we don't want to sell everyone, that we're looking for strategic alliances that will be with us long term, that we always look for the long term relationship, that we're willing to overcome some adversity, willing to be patient, but slow down to go lots faster. I found that to be a game changer, that the impact is there, and the joy that people have is there, and that people are willing to be a lot more engaged. And so that would be my headline. What do you have, Andy?
Well, I kind of want to go with what the Chinese has the expression that the fish stinks from the head down, right? So I believe we live by example. I believe that what we do has an impact on the world, and the way you make an impact on the world is one person at a time. I mean, some people are out there in front of large audiences making an impact. But I had a good friend of mine. He goes, you know who my hero is? I go, no. And he says the name of a guy I've never heard of before. And I said, okay, why is he your hero? And he goes, well, here's a guy from Iowa. Lived in a nice neighborhood. Nobody knows who he is. He didn't have a fancy job. But you know what? He did the right things every day. He did the right things for his neighbors. He did the right things for his wife. He did the right things for his kids. He lived with the right values. And he had an impact, and that's my hero. And so, what you realize is you can have an impact on the world, both in terms of having fun and giving back, right? There's lots of ways to give back. There's lots of ways to have fun. But if we look at living an exceptional life at whatever level you can live, and having an impact on people that leaves them better off after you're done than before, at no matter how small or large that is, that's where I think things really begin. Now, I've got a bucket list that's 18 pages long or something of that sort. My life has always been an adventure. And, one of mine was I lived in Guatemala and built houses for earthquake victims. That's one way to give back. Last 2 years, I've been dealing with other things. This year, I made a promise that I want to give 10% of what we generate in new business to charity this year. I'm going,
corporately.
You know what? it's time to get corporately. That we're going to give 10% back to charity this year, and that's a way that I can make a difference. So sometimes you can do it with cash, sometimes you can do it with labor, sometimes you can do it with products, services, whatever. But I believe I really believe that's something that we all should do, and I'll stop at that.
Perfect. Guys, I really appreciate the time, especially going over and going above and beyond, and I just can't imagine not listening to this and not getting new perspectives, new ideas, and some new strategies on what you can do to take your sales team, or even creating a new sales team, and make it perform for you so much better. Obviously, this is the tip of the iceberg of what you do. If people want to get in touch with you guys, where should they head?
Send them to our website, and our numbers and email and everything is there. So if they go to www.expgrowth.com, they'll be able to reach us there.
Okay, EXP, E like Echo, X like X-ray, P like Paul,
yep.
growth.com, and they can check out what you do. And your typical client is, what's a good sweet spot for you guys that you can really make a huge difference with? And I know, we're coming out with some new products, and we're working together on a book and so forth, so we'll be able to reach additional people. But right now, if they want that intense help, what's a client look like?
Yeah, our sweet spot's between $25 million to $300 million. There's a kind of a second tier where it goes down to $10 million. Once you get below that, it's hard to make the economics work out, and they usually don't have the manpower or the resources to pull it off. However, as you know, we're all talking about how do we make what we do available to smaller business owners and entrepreneurs, partly because we have an affinity for that because we are one, we were one. And so we want to look at maybe we can offer some kind of a group coaching or something of the sort to help the smaller companies, because it's just, that is our future and that is our passion.
Yeah, I'll throw a summary thought out. When I, 20 years ago or so, I had a chance to spend 3 days with John Wooden. And John was the greatest sports coach in American history, and I was just hanging out, me and him, and I asked him for advice, and he said two things that I think are relevant to this conversation. He said, first, you can't win without the players. And so this call was really about don't settle. If you got anything from this, whoever you're looking at isn't good enough. Look a second time. There's somebody better, and that extra looking will make a big, big difference. Then what Coach Wooden said to me was, just because you have the players doesn't mean you'll win. And this really gets into this last part that Andy was talking about, and that is when you get the right people, you can afford to spend time with them. You can spend time, you can spend resources to coach them. So maybe there is an opportunity that if there's enough interest from this industry, the information marketers, and they come forward, maybe we can do some kind of grouping format, maybe even with you, Yannick, such that we take a whole new generation of salespeople and prepare them, give them kind of a sales gym to work out, and that they're prepared to do these tasks that could be possible.
Excellent. Yeah, so head over to the site and just make sure that you stay connected to Andy and Tom there to see what's coming down the pike. You'll certainly hear from me as new things develop also on this, because I'm a huge, huge advocate of Andy and Tom's, rightfully so. So check out the site. And really appreciate it, gentlemen. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.